The Guardian. The Travel Folk Tales for Kids series is supported by Airbnb.
The Dragon of Palma de Mallorca. This is the island of Mallorca, just off the coast of Spain, known for its beautiful beaches, azure waters, and limestone mountains. But there's history here, too. In the city of Palma de Mallorca, with its grand Gothic cathedral and streets of colorful houses. Every year here, there's a firework festival involving a puppet dragon that gets paraded through the streets. But did you know that there was once a real dragon who lived here? It was in the 18th century, a time when grandmothers were dragged off in the night, leaving only their false teeth behind. Naughty children were warned, if you don't behave, the dragon will take you away. And sooner or later, that's exactly what it did. The hotspot was the neighbourhood of La Portella. The people there locked their doors and windows tight and tried not to hear the thump, slither, thump of the dragon down in the stream. The beautiful Lady Isabella lived in La Portella, and one balmy evening stood at her balcony being serenaded by her new boyfriend, Captain Bartomeo, who was new in town. He was a rotten musician, but Isabella seemed to like him anyway. As he stood beneath the gentle light of her window, strumming his mandolin, the horrible racket pretty soon attracted the attention of the extremely hungry dragon. Slither, thump, slither. Up it came, wriggling and gleaming from the sewers, saliva frothing up from between its fangs. At first glimpse, Captain Bartomeo was frozen in horror. He congratulated himself on bringing his trusty sword with him, far more useful for fighting monsters than a mandolin. He gulped as he watched the dragon scampering on four squat legs down the dank and rather misty alleyway towards him. It was a fearful sight. Dark green with gold-tipped scales and bright yellow fangs that jutted inwards, all the better for ripping its victim into shreds, and the beadiest red eyes you've ever seen on a monster. "It's the dragon!" shouted Captain Bartomeo, astonished. The dragon of Palma de Mallorca flew into a rage. He jumped up on his hind legs and launched himself with a terrible throaty gargle at our hero. The captain lost his grip on his sword and it flew out of his hand and landed on the cobbles just out of reach. They both fell over heavily. The mandolin went spraying and crunch, and upstairs Bartomeo's beloved Isabella heard the disturbance and craned her neck to see what was going on. She soon saw that her boyfriend was in the most awful danger. As the dragon opened his jaws wide to gobble him up, the brave Captain Bartomeo gasped, "Excuse me? Hello? Hello?" He frowned at the dragon, taking note of his long, flat snout. He peered musingly at his lack of ears and wings. He wondered about the conspicuous absence of flying about and breathing fire. "Ah, I wonder," said Captain Bartomeo. "Yes?" croaked the dragon suspiciously. "Forgive me for asking, Sir Dragon, but aren't you actually a crocodile?" The captain was very widely travelled, and he'd seen a thing or two. So he knew a crocodile when he saw one. He'd been up the Nile, and he'd seen them lolling about sunbathing on the riverbanks. "I am, indeed," said the dragon, heavily. Regretfully, She stopped throttling her enemy.
Also, I'll have you know that I'm a lady, not a gentleman.
I beg your pardon, said the captain politely, still gripped in the clutches of the beast. He could feel hot drool from the crocodile's jaws dripping on his face, and he tried to buy himself some time by keeping the beast talking.
Tell me, dear lady, how does a crocodile come to be rampaging about the streets of Palma de Mallorca so far away from home?
She sighed. That's a longish and rather sad story, actually. Do you really want to hear it?
Yes,
said Captain Bartomeu, though really what he wanted was for the so-called dragon to loosen her grip and let him nip up to the safety of Isabella's flat. But he knew the deal. When you're a prisoner of a monster, you have to listen to its tale.
Well, there I was in Africa, the crocodile said, floating about in the river, basking, picking my teeth, occasionally wrestling smaller animals to their death and chomping them into bite-sized chunks, when I was picked up and dragged off by a horde of what I would call pirates. Apparently they kidnap crocodiles all the time and bring them on ships to Europe, where they would sell them to people who want to use them as talking points or to impress their friends. You tell all your friends that your crocodile is actually a dragon and that you beat it in a terrible and legendary battle. Well, I'm lucky, I suppose, that they didn't have me stuffed. Instead, I was put in a tiny cage in the dark, smelly hold of a ship sailing from Algiers, and it stopped here in Mallorca. Those pirates, all they did all day was drink sherry and eat potted shrimp, so it wasn't too difficult for me to chomp my way past all the tipsy sailors and hurry down the gangplank into dry land, and I found myself in this wonderful, fragrant city of palm trees and bougainvillea. I marvelled at the Gothic architecture and soaked in the colours and scents and sights. But as soon as people started noticing me, it was, it's a dragon! Highly annoying. So, well, what was I to do? I slunk into the shadows. I crept into the sewers. There was nowhere else for me to go. I had to make do with chewing up nasty rats and mangy cats. But my hunger knew no bounds. And when I could smell garlic and paella and lobster and mussels, I assuaged my awful pangs with the odd tramp, then the occasional old person who'd got lost, who no one would really miss. Oh, well, and that got the juices flowing, and then I ate one or two unwary revellers who were still up past everyone's bedtime. Oh, and children! Only the naughty ones. The ones who'd wandered away from their parents. They taste the best. And so, gradually, I became the monster you see before you right now. I even began to enjoy my reputation as the Dragon of Palma de Mallorca.
Oh, dear, said Captain Bartomeu. Well, I'm sure you're not all that bad, really.
Oh, but I am, my dear sir,
said the crocodile sadly.
You see, I can't help myself right now, you see. I'm going to devour you!
With that, the crocodile opened her jaws in the hugest grin, and the captain was quite sure hers was the very last face he would ever see. However, Isabella was down in the alleyway by now. She had been listening to the so-called dragon's tale of woe, and she had no sympathy at all with this scaly beast. Not when her boyfriend was in the gutter and about to get his face bitten off. She saw his trusty sword gleaming on the cobbles and snatched it up in a flash. Next thing, she ran the crocodile through with a great big hefty stab. With an almighty scream, the dragon was dead.
I could have a couple of handbags out of that. Maybe a suitcase and some shoes, Isabella said.
Captain Bartomeu couldn't help feeling a bit sad for the croc, so far from home and disappointed with how her life had turned out. Perhaps she had been rather too savage, and they couldn't really have let her continue eating children, not even the naughtiest ones.
But Isabella was very pleased with herself. She waved the sword about over her head. I
Isabella slew the dragon. The captain and Isabella were married and lived happily ever after, unlike the unfortunate dragon. You can see it to this very day at the Museum Diocesan in Palma, though it's a bit smaller and scabbier than it was back in 1776, because Isabella got her handbags and a suitcase and a pair of shoes for being so brave. And if you do go and see the dragon, don't think too badly of her. She never asked to be dragged across the sea and to live in a smelly sewer. She never even really wanted to eat children. Well, not much, anyway.
The Travel Folk Tales for Kids series is supported by Airbnb. Where will your imagination take you? Search fairy tale family homes anywhere in the world at airbnb.com and get inspired for your next family adventure.
The Guardian.